रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय तथे नमः। युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 19 विभीषण शरणागति। After listening to this chapter, if possible, please offer some special fruits and sweets to the deities. The recitation begins now. Even as he desired it, Vibhishana received the grace of Rama and the gift of freedom from fear at the hands of all created beings. The Rakshasa had heard of the auspicious qualities and resolved to serve Rama. Now, seeing with his own eyes that Sri Rama's divine excellences exceeded a millionfold the reports he had heard, he bowed in deep devotion at the feet of Raghava. He realized the highest goal of life, having adopted the means that freed him from all danger and misery. His exhaustive and deep study of the Vedas and Shastras and his maturing wisdom bore fruit that day. The intimate counselors of Rama stood close around him, but the most important among them made room for Vibhishana to take his place before Sri Rama. Noting all this carefully, he saluted Raghuvira with the utmost reverence even from afar. Finding that his stance in the sky did not give him freedom to stretch himself at Rama's feet, he alighted on the earth. Why should he bend low and pray before Rama, even after winning his heart's desire, the final freedom from all fear? The divine perfection of Sri Rama's form, face, and excellent qualities filled his heart with ecstasy. Only his senseless body fell at the feet of the Lord. There was no motive behind this act of adoration. Again, it was only Vibhishana who sought and secured sanctuary from Sri Rama. But such was his supreme devotion that even his followers attained the reward of service to Raghava. Till then, he made surrender of the self through speech. Now he laid the body at the Lord's feet. Doubt and confusion fell away from him. He knew for certain what was for his highest welfare. His whole being was transformed. Asleep or awake, he remained steadfast in the state of surrender to the Lord. When the monkeys cried, "Slay him forthwith, he cannot be trusted." When Raghunatha said, "I shall not forsake him, bring him here." And again when Sugriva prayed to Rama, "Let him be one of us." All this time, Vibhishana had been free from all care, his heart serene and unruffled. His love and trust were supremely fixed in Rama, whom he had chosen as a soul savior. He knew that the divine feet of Rama, the Supreme Absolute Lord, were the means, the only means for his salvation. And here, in front of him, stood the Lord in his auspicious beauty, shedding grace upon himself. And even as an infant springs forward to clasp its mother, he laid his head at the lotus feet of Rama. And the four that came with him followed him in his prostration, as limbs follow the head without a will of their own. Thus, having made bodily submission, he now uttered words of self-surrender. Sugriva and the other Vanara lords loved him much and trusted him with one accord. Vibhishana's prayer to Sri Rama face to face was none other than his prayer to the Vanara lords when he sought their help to intercede for him. All the elements of surrender were included in his words, which were most appropriate as they were addressed to Sri Raghuvira, who had both the power and the grace abounding to protect him. Those same words which once roused anger and disgust in the hearts of Sugriva and his friends now threw them into an ecstasy of joy. "Lord, I am the brother of Ravana. I have been insulted and disgraced by him. Since you have declared that even Ravana merits your grace, you are indeed the savior of all beings. You are the living embodiment of knowledge, power, and every other divine excellence. Hence, I have sought refuge in you. I have renounced Lanka, my home, my friends, and all the wealth I got through them. To serve you is for me the heights of sovereignty, the enjoyment of all desires, and bliss supreme in this world and the next. I pray for nothing but service to you. Having thus renounced all desires and placed all his burdens on Sri Rama, he prayed for nothing but service to the Lord, the service which he counted as the highest bliss. And to this servant, his Lord and Master, the Almighty Raghuvira said, My friend, the moment you said surrender, it was my duty to have welcomed you. Forgive me for this long delay. Thus Sri Rama brought peace to the heart of Vibhishana and joyously beheld him for a long time with unwinking eyes. Then Vibhishana said to Rama, Lord, tell me what service I can do for you with this body. Then Rama replied, Let us think of it later. Now serve me through your speech. Let me have a true account of the strength and weakness of the Rakshasas. Then Vibhishana spoke about, Lord, King of kings, Ravana has secured from Brahma the boon that he need have no fear of death from Gandharvas, Uragas, Rakshasas and other created beings. Kumbhakarna, my elder, and Ravana's younger brother, is endowed with boundless might and potency, a hero like Indra in battle. Prahastha, the commander of Ravana's forces, is famous as a warrior. He worsted Manibhadra, the general of Kubera, in the terrible fight that took place on Mount Kailasa between Ravana and Kubera. Indrajit, the son of Ravana, can keep up a ceaseless shower of arrows, and none can pierce his armor. He has won the favor of Agni by oblations, and in consequence, when he arrays his forces and stands at their head with a bent bow, he is invisible while his arrows deal death to the foes. Mahodara, Mahaparsha, Akampan, and other leaders are the peers of the world guardians and prowess. There are 14 crores of Rakshasas in Lanka whose diet is flesh and blood and who can assume what forms they will. With these at his back, Ravana opposed the world guardians and put them to rout. The hosts of heaven who came to help them fled in terror before Ravana. Rama of unshaken fortitude listened to the words of Vibhishana and considered calmly the steps to be taken. Then he said, I have noted carefully what you say of the valor, might and the daring deeds of the Rakshasas. I shall slay in battle Ravana, his counselors, ministers, kinsmen, and armies. And I shall install you on the throne of Lanka. Take my words as the truth. Ravana may hide himself in Rasatala, Patala, or the other nether worlds. He may take refuge with Brahma who granted him his boons. He cannot escape death wherever he may be. I shall not go back to Ayodhya without first destroying Ravana and his sons, his kith and kin, his friends and armies. I swear it in the names of my brothers, Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. Vibhishana was deeply troubled that Rama swore to give him lordship over Lanka, which he knew to be worthless and had rejected in disgust. All that he longed for was the highest good, which is the service to Rama. Hence, he saluted Rama with the utmost reverence, knowing that Rama was a bringer of happiness to all beings and knowing too the infinite value of self-surrender and service to him. So he said, Lord, I shall serve you as long as life lasts in destroying the Rakshasas and capturing Lanka. Permit me to join your army and fight for you. Rama clasped him to his breast with love and made him all his own, for he knew that Vibhishana desired no other reward than service to himself. So he replied, You should enjoy the fruit that comes to you unsought. Do not cross my wish. Then he turned to Lakshmana and exclaimed, My dear boy, bring me water from the sea. This friend of ours is mighty knower who knows himself through service to me. He never desired power or kingship, but because he has my grace, the love I bear him should yield golden fruit, and you should see that he enjoys it. Lose no time in crowning him Lord of Lanka and the ruler of the Rakshasas. Forthwith, Lakshmana, as bidden by Rama, fetched water from the sea and, surrounded by the monkey heroes and in the presence of the monkey hosts, installed Vibhishana, the supreme devotee, as the Lord of Lanka. The monkey hosts witnessed the boundless compassion and yearning of Rama towards his devotees and rent the air with shouts of joy. Good! Excellent! Later, Hanuman and Sugriva took Vibhishna aside and said, Friend, how are we to cross this waste of waters, the realm of Varuna? It is not only ourselves, but these countless monkeys that we have to take over to the other side. Vibhishna replied, Let Raghuvira throw himself at the mercy of the Lord of the Ocean, who will then be moved to suggest a suitable plan. This vast and unplumbed watery waste was dug by the sons of Sagara of the Ikshvaku line. The Lord of the Ocean is a kinsman, as it were, of Rama, and will assuredly help him at need. The Ocean King is not one who forgets a favor. Vibhishna, of ready resource, gave his advice, and Sugriva and Hanuman took it to Rama. He in turn was much pleased with it, since virtue was his very nature. Though he could accomplish unaided whatever he willed, he wished to pay due respect to the timely advice of Vibhishna. He turned to Sugriva with a smile and said, Sugriva, Lakshmana, I love the suggestion of Vibhishna. Sugriva is famed for his intelligence, and you are past masters in planning. Let me know what seems to you expedient after mutual consultation. They clasped their hands in reverence and said, We have no other source left to us. What Vibhishna suggests is easy and conducive to our welfare. Hence, we both approve of it. Neither gods nor demons can approach Lanka without building a causeway across this terrible ocean. The words of Vibhishna, expert in counsel, are true and acceptable. Therefore, let us make no delay. Pray to the Ocean King. There is no other means for us and our armies to reach Lanka, the island ruled by Ravana. Then Sri Rama laid himself on a bed of holy grass, and he shone like the blazing fire in a sacrificial pit. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhumaya Mangalam.